The title for the message this afternoon is also from Scripture in Acts 2:21, and the title is, It Shall Come to Pass. In Peter's sermon on Pentecost, he quoted from the prophet Joel, and I wanted to use that as the key for this message this afternoon. Also, sometimes I like to let you know where the inspiration came from in my mind as I prepare a message. In this message, I was thinking about some of the people among us who we've lost in the last year or so, and maybe more distantly than that, some of your relatives, some of mine, some of ours. I wanted to do something that would show that Pentecost is not just for us here in this room, but it's for all of God's people for all time. Pentecost is about God keeping his promises, and we can see that in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. If you just look at it and shred it down to those statements that really show that he was keeping promises to many of his people. He had promised eternal life, and what was done on Pentecost was essential to the keeping of that overarching promise. God had promised King David that he would raise up the Christ, one born from his own lineage, to sit on the throne. By inspiration to David, God had promised Christ would be raised from his grave, raised from the dead, before his body saw corruption. Through the prophet Joel, God had promised that he would pour out of his spirit on all flesh. He promised that his spirit would be given to the old and to the young, to men and to women, and that they would prophesy. They would speak in many languages, as it says, the wonderful works of God. Joel also wrote of God's promise of salvation. And he said in Acts 2, in verse 21, And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a beautiful promise that is. And it's not just for those who hear it, the ones who live and are attending on any particular day of Pentecost. It's for all of God's people for all time. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this promise extends then to us and to our children, to generations yet to come. It says in verse 39, For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Pentecost is about God keeping his promises to his people. Today I'd like to notice to whom these promises were made, and to see in the scripture the names of some of these people, and others who are unnamed but are shown to be there and included in the promises. Let's notice as we go through the work that God and Christ were doing and are still doing in the lives of individual people and now in our lives too. In Acts 2 and verse 1, it says, Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. A pronoun, they, that included a group of God's wonderful people that he had called. Who were these people? We see this in Acts chapter 1, in verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. And so this group of people included these apostles, and they are named. Later on, we'll see this. In verse 4 of Acts 1, it says, And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, he said, which you have heard from me, to wait in Jerusalem for that promise. This promise was to these people who heard him say, Wait there for me. Wait in Jerusalem until this is given to you, until this promise is given. In reference to this, we could look back and just jot down John 14, verse 16 and 17, where God had promised through Christ that they would be given his Holy Spirit. That those people who were there that evening on Passover, when Christ kept it with his disciples, they would be given that Holy Spirit. In verse 5 here in Acts chapter 1, it says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Another promise being kept. You will be baptized with God's Holy Spirit. And it's leading up in this list of these promises with the people who are there. In verse 11, there were two angels who spoke to them as Christ ascended. And he said, "Men of Galilee," so now we know that it's the group of men, and women are also included in this same listing. People from Galilee, and we could read back through the accounts and the Gospels and see these the names of many of these people who followed Christ throughout his ministry, men and women, and were with him through many of those significant times in his ministry. The angels are saying to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go." Another promise yet to be kept. He will come again. Their names are given of the apostles here in verse 13. "And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas." And we could read of their history in the scriptures. We could read the stories of them throughout the ministry of Christ. And we can see and follow some of their lives after this event in Acts chapter 2 as well. Peter, James, John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. We could look back and we could put names here in this list as well. People that were known by Jesus Christ and who knew him and who were with him during those 40 days before he ascended. We can see this list of very special people to God, and promises were being kept for them. There were many others also. In verse 15 it says, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether the number of names was about 120. And so now there are 109 people were there in addition to the ones that are listed that we know, the 11 disciples who were still there. Quite a group for a gathering on a Day of Atonement. Very special people with promises being kept. In verse 24 it says, "And they prayed and said," they being the apostles, "they prayed and said, you, Lord, you know the hearts of all." I wanted to focus on that because God, Jesus Christ, they know our hearts. We just heard a message about the Holy Spirit that's in us, that knows us so deeply it can intercede for us, even when we can't create the own words in our mind with groanings that are unutterable. God knows our hearts for every single one of us. And we're the ones to whom these promises are being kept. The point is this. So in the early morning hours of that day of Pentecost, probably in the year 31 AD, God kept his promise to about 120 very special individuals. In chapter 2, as we read, we begin to find out more. Verse 1 through 4, it says, "Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place," this 120, "and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, promises being kept, one after another, promises to God's people being given and kept. What happened then was something that at first people didn't understand. The other people around who were there in Jerusalem, it was one of the pilgrimage feasts of the year, and people from many different areas had come in to worship. And some of them are listed, the places where they're from and the verses that follow. And so now, so soon after the giving of the Holy Spirit, God was fulfilling other promises too. Notice how more people were receiving these promises. Verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. People from other nations had come in. Jews who were aware of the religion of Judaism, who came to worship the Lord at the temple to offer sacrifices, the only place on earth where that was permitted. They came in faith to worship God, and now God was beginning to open their minds to promises that would soon be given to them. In verse 6, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. My focus is here on the growing number of people who are becoming aware of promises being kept. Though they might not have known it in that context at the time, we can read it and see what was happening, that God was beginning a very great work through Jesus Christ and by his Holy Spirit. The multitude came together. It says they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. In verse 14, Peter begins his sermon. And he says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. So this was a message then for the mass of people who had come in, men of Judea, from all these regions and from beyond the borders even. You see the list there in verse 9, 10, 11. Let this be known to you and heed my words. Let this be known to you, he says. And I'm just going to break through some of these things and pick up this thread of these people to whom these promises were being kept. He begins to quote some things that happened long ago. It says in verse 16, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, Joel was a man who lived perhaps in the late 800s AD, maybe into 796 BC. Did I say AD? About 835 to 796. He likely lived in a time with generations after David, but during the time of King Joash, many generations before this feast, this day of Pentecost that was now being held, Peter was inspired to bring words that had been given hundreds of years before, a promise that was given and was now being fulfilled. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. That promise was being kept. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. This is a very graphic description of what Joel had written, had seen in vision some many hundreds of years before. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It shall come to pass. It's a sure promise. That promise was there for Joel, too. That promise will be kept for Joel, who lived so many years before this feast of Pentecost was given. God's promises include people from generations and hundreds of years and even thousands of years apart. This is a promise that will be fulfilled for Joel and for all who heard him speak and his prophecy during his lifetime. This is a promise of salvation. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the promise of Pentecost. For all who call on the name of the Lord, the same pattern that Joel wrote, we see it in this inspired sermon by Peter. Joel wrote of repentance. You can go back and read in Joel chapter 2 and read before this prophecy is quoted. He's talking there about, turn to me, you people, turn back to me and I will forgive and I will have mercy. The same pattern is what Peter is speaking of here, of repentance leading to the receiving of God's Holy Spirit and then salvation. It's what we see in this book of Acts. And Peter, on that day, was inspired to remember and to bring to the attention of those people and now to us that God's promise was kept and is yet to be kept. It's not over yet. Just with the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit, it leads even further. It leads to salvation. It leads to eternal life. In the Beyond Today commentary, it says, this has enormous significance for the church today as we near the end of the age. If we are prepared to heed the warnings and turn our lives around with the help of the Holy Spirit, we too can reap the promised blessings. And so the point here is this. Pentecost is for Joel. For Joel as well as those people who were in Jerusalem that year. And it's for all of God's people. You could read in the Old Testament of many of the faithful. You could read of some of them in Hebrews 11. And you see the listing of those people to whom this promise was also given. The promise of the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit was there to encourage people who lived hundreds of years before the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And I like to think back when those people who were there when Joel wrote that, when they read it, when they heard it, how it affected them. And though they wouldn't have known what Peter was inspired to say so many years later, that promise was for them, even for the ones who didn't heed what Joel was inspired to write to them. The ones who didn't repent then, it will still be for them at a different and later time. As he continued preaching, Peter was inspired to speak of what King David wrote many generations before Joel's prophecy. Look here in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. For David says concerning him. As we read this, I want us to focus on this. Pentecost is for David as well. It was such an important thing for David to have this promise. And now on the day of Pentecost, it is shown to have been kept. He said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. David is writing about Jesus Christ here. He's not writing about himself. He's writing about Christ. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Continuing, Peter explains this. He says in verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today." Pentecost is for someone who is dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today. It's for someone to whom God made promises, and those promises are being kept and are yet to be kept. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. These are powerful promises being kept, given hundreds of years before, and now explained as having been fulfilled. And the meaning of the fulfillment that would come even thousands of years later. It's wonderful to read these things. God had kept this promise to Christ himself. This was a promise to Jesus Christ. Your soul will not be left in Hades. Your body will not see corruption. God kept that promise to Jesus Christ. And on the day of Pentecost, we recognize that. It didn't happen on the day of Pentecost, but the message is here for us because it bridges what happened in the early festivals of the year, as we heard this morning in a wonderful message, with what comes later, with the salvation that comes. And there's this bridge in between, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's here, and it's the central part of Peter's message here. Of all his promises that God had made and kept, this one was the big one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the greatest one. Because Christ has been raised, we too have the promise that God has made for us of eternal life, becoming his sons and his daughters. Pentecost is for Jesus Christ. He had this promise, and it was kept. Because it was kept, we know that the promise given to us will be kept. And for David, whose tomb is with us to this day, as it says, even though David has died and God's promises are still there for him, they've not just evaporated because David is in his grave. These promises go on. It will be kept. It shall come to pass that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then Peter turned his attention to those who were there to hear. In verse 36, he says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel." See how it expands? First 120. Then to those who are there hearing, and now he pushes it out even further to all the house of Israel. "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." So this is a promise for all of Israel. The promises are for people of the past. It's for people who were present there. It's for people who were alive then but were not present yet at Jerusalem. Pentecost is for us now. And Pentecost is for the future. Pentecost is for our loved ones who have died. Just as much as for David and Joel. And for those 120 who are in their graves, and for the 3,000 who were baptized that day, who then were not able to continue in the mortal way. Thank you. Appreciate it. Do you see in verse 39? "For the promise is to you and to your children, the generations of God's people." And if there are generations yet to come before Christ returns, it includes them. Pentecost is about God keeping his promises. And his promises are to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. In verse 21 again, it says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is so much a part of the message of Pentecost. It shall come to pass. There will be salvation for all who turn to God. In verse 41, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Pentecost was for them then, and it still is, for those same 3,000. Pentecost continues. There are yet things to be fulfilled. God was keeping his promises to more and more people, but he wasn't finished yet. There would be many more within the next few weeks, and we read of them in the book of Acts. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. And in the months and in the years and the decades and the centuries, and now for almost 2,000 years, God has been working to give those promises to more and more people. But brethren, here's the point of this message. And it's just simply to restate what I've said. Pentecost is about God keeping his promises. And he will continue. And today we are the recipients of his precious promises. David wrote part of Peter's sermon. There's David's words right there. But David is in his grave. Joel wrote part of Peter's sermon, a sermon inspired hundreds of years before. And those same words come in to again inspire God's people. But Joel died without having received the promises. Again, those first 120 and then the 3,000. In our lifetimes, and now maybe it becomes personal, and now maybe we feel the emotion of it for an individual that we love so very much. Good. We need to. But that same emotion, the same commitment, the same love would be there for every single one who hears God's promises and turns to him. Everyone. My brother-in-law died 8 days ago, and his funeral was yesterday. And that's when I started putting this message together. There's someone that I knew from the time I was in high school, and my sister fell in love with him, and he was not in the church as we know it, but they loved each other. And God called him, and he began attending church, was baptized, and received God's Holy Spirit. He was ordained as a deacon in the church. He died 8 days ago. And Pentecost is for him and for everyone who you lost over your lifetimes. And some of your loved ones I've known, mothers and fathers and brothers and husbands and wives, and for all of us, brethren, for our children too, and our grandchildren. Pentecost is such an important holy day of God. It's a day when we can see the outpouring of God's love and the keeping of his promises. And it gives us hope for all the rest of his promises to come. Hope in that salvation. Hope in what Joel wrote so long ago, that's recorded in Peter's sermon in Acts 2 and verse 21. "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The main point is this. Peter's sermon on that day of Pentecost was about even more promises of God yet to be kept. It shall come to pass.